chase on me, no chase on me, no chase on me.
The South Trinity Baptist Church is literally giving guns away.
Reverend, when I was told what you were doing down here, I thought it was more of a guns for toys situation. Now I'm realizing you're just giving guns away. That sounds incredibly irresponsible.
We've tried everything else. I want to see gun violence end. I know it sounds crazy.
Have you considered the ramifications of all this, Reverend?
Oh, let me explain. This is just an experiment. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Okay, I don't think just saying that absolves you from any of the responsibility of the outcome.
Ye who giveth the guns should not bear responsibility for it.
You just made that up.
If I just made that up, then why is it on our side?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Cognac Boys Podcast, the new season with the new reason for you to tune in and watch us brothers.
Cognac Boys.
I'm comedian Fredo Davis.
I'm comedian Ron the Don.
And we talk the best-ish. If you just now tuning in, you know we unfiltered, unadulterated. We have fun.
Spell unadulterated.
I will after this, because I'm on some shit I ain't used to drinking.
If you ever say unadulterated.
I know how to spell paid, P-E-D. We got a very special guest in the building. Stand-up comedian, actor. You probably have seen him in all kinds of commercials. BML. Hey, now let me know if I get you carried with your resume. The nigga was in Ray.
It was in what?
Everybody was in Ray, huh?
Did
you say Rent or Ray? Ray. But it wouldn't even matter. The nigga wouldn't have seen you anyway. He wouldn't have known you was in it.
You stupid.
Well, man, this brother got a lot of good accolades. I'm going to let him tell you some of the stuff you've been in. We're going to get deep into, you know, the interview process, catch up with my brother, man. Why Stacey Hall? You still go by
what's
Wise?
Up? Nah, I go by Stacey Hall.
Man. Stacey Hall.
Stacey Hall.
When I first started doing, comedy,
yeah.
Back in the days, I dropped the Wise. But, you know, I came up with Wise because of just a wise person, you know, as comics, we think a lot.
Yeah,
it was one of the things that we're the ones that's supposed to come up with the answers to make people feel better about their day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought Wise was a great name to stick with it. And it was WYZE. So, you know, I like the Wise potato chip. So, you know, I just came up with that, man. And I thought it stuck. But I wanted my first and last name, my government name, to really keep riding it. And so I can just build off that. You know, you're in this business, the more you want to brand. Like you by Fredo Davis.
You know how late I am, though? I'm a couple of decades late. You couldn't tell me shit.
I thank y'all for having me, though, bro. I'm proud of you. I think you guys got something going that's very special, man.
Yeah. And, it is.
I mean, this is gonna just get better, bro. And I mean, you know the thing is,
you know the fuck we came from. We had to learn about all of this. We came from nothing for real with the podcast shit. We just knew to keep recording.
Nigga, we stole an apartment theater room. We stole it. We stole the time, man. Nigga, we're like, hey, ain't nobody around. This, hurry up, go in.
That's what you call guerrilla shooting.
Oh yeah, yeah. Even when America went down or whatever, we still shot in my crib. And I'd be like, yo, quiet on the set. Because people, for some reason, when you doing something, people want to talk in the background.
Yeah.
And then after I said quiet on the set, the next one is,
this was all fat from the pandemic.
Ain't nobody talking when I'm talking, so shut the fuck up. Man, this is my house. My mama be like, you ain't got to talk to me like that. I said, don't make me repeat myself, mama.
Cussing his own mama out.
This is my house. You used to tell me shit like that when it was your house.
Yeah, man, but as far as with the pandemic, man, what did the pandemic do for you, man? It did a lot of good for some people, you know what I mean?
I think for me it did a lot of good, man. I mean, it was just trying to stay safe, man. I wear my mask every day. I got my mask right here.
What y'all wear condoms?
The
thing is, though, man, I think the pandemic really, we lost a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, even people in my family, and I just had to wake up and smell the coffee and just get more creative, and you know, the more you sit at home, you know, you just, that's, as artists, if you're a true artist, you're going to get creative about something. So, you know, that's when I started my live stream podcast. And, you know, we kept working.
Right, you was doing stand-up at the house. I remember a lot of comedians was going out there.
Yeah, rocking with you.
You black and white, though.
Like, yeah. I feel like any crowd, you should be able to make any crowd laugh.
No, yeah, because I like green. I don't give a fuck. As long as at the end of the day.
As long as you get that green paper.
Damn right.
You know what I'm saying?
Black or white. You can relate, because I talk a lot of shit. There's something in here you're going to relate to.
Yeah.
I know every nigga in this world been cheated on.
Sometimes I just be I be in that motherfucker pissing people off. That's part of it too.
But you gotta be able to track that.
And you gotta make them laugh after they get pissed off. God damn. Yeah,
like piss them off too much, man.
Well, not too much. You gotta pick them up and lay them down. Come on, man.
Tyler Craig told me, he said, us, pull them into your clothes first. Before you push them away, all right?
Yeah,
put them in close to you. Embrace them.
Come on, man.
What a legend, man.
Hey, school by the best.
Put a little spit before you run deep.
That's Scooby, man.
He always has some knowledge for you, boy.
Rest in peace, Tyler Craig.
Rest in peace, Tyler Craig, man. Yeah. I took him on the road with me. He took me on the road with him. We all learned so much from Tyler Craig, man.
Tyler was sharp.
Joke number 12.
Legend.
Don't get yourself in a shitty situation.
Moral of the story is.
I missed that joke.
If any other comedian ever say the moral of the story,
they know where
they stole it from.
They be doing
it. They
were stealing Tyler Craig jokes.
In the words of Tyler, let the mere peasants have it.
It still ain't gonna make them more money than them.
The thing is, man, he was just a creator of material. He kind of reminded me of, I don't know if y'all remember Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg, that long hair, kind of a hippie type comedian.
He's Jewish.
Mitch Hedberg.
Hedberg. My last name was Davis Berg.
Yeah, Tyler kind of reminded me of him on the black side of things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He was just raw. And, man, he was just a lot of inspiration. I missed that brother, man. It broke my heart. We gotta be in each other's lives as much as we can, man, and look out for each other.
Phone calls and all of that.
The phone call away, bro.
Yeah.
That's it.
Each one of us.
A text away.
Yeah. Check on your brother. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. Well, check up for one another, man. But let me tell you something. God brought us here for a reason. He put people in your life. You know, some of them just for a season, but some of them for a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? When you find those are few and far in between. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Some people click. Some people ain't shit.
Yeah.
And some people legit.
Too legit and quick.
I thought you were rhyming all night.
I heard you over there. You got to remember, this is a different episode.
You just go rhyme.
Hey, look here, though. Wise Stacy. What's up? I call you Wise because, you know. Hey, the nigga called you Clay. I'm going to call you Clay. Hey, well, we go way back, bro, from sports galore. 559. A lot of people don't believe the 559 story.
Oh,
they don't know what they're missing. Please.
559 and after 559, you go to the Blue Flame for amateur night. But 559 was a staple, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, that's where it's like going in the ring without gloves on. Mm-hmm. And straight knuckling up with everybody in the ring. That's about 250 people in the club.
Every fucking Bruce
would bring you up like you ain't shit. This next nigga coming on stage, you have seen him absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
That shit was like the passion of the
Christ. No, man. As soon as you walk in the back door,
he sees you.
He see you. All right, Wise, go up and get a DJ your music. You next, nigga.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, damn. But one thing about Bruce, he paid us every Tuesday night. Whether you got booed or not, you got paid.
But you was one of the first brothers out the crew, me, you, Superwoman, and all the young ones that was running right then and there. You was one of the first ones to get paid at 559. I ain't know if you
really.
Like, yeah, you was number. I think you ended up getting on the creative tour, if I'm correct.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. I had Brian Heffron, and I got booked through there to feature.
I remember talking to you one night. Your eyes were big as shit. She was like, they gave me $500 though.
Yeah, I was like, $500. You know, I was confident. What that was.
It wasn't about making them laugh. It was just about making it through.
So yeah,
you tough skin.
To me, people talk about the Apollo, but to me, that was worse than Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
Because them niggas came in there with problems.
Yeah,
They came in there with attitude.
Drinking blue motherfuckers out the pitcher.
You might have Andre and Big Boy from Outkast sitting in the middle of a Goody Mob, then you got every nigga from the hood in the West End.
Yeah.
And they like, nigga, make me laugh, nigga, what you gonna do?
Man. Who got my baby daddy, Hitman, Sammy Sam, Red, the light skin.
You ain't my daddy.
Yeah, yeah, all them producing niggas just come, they fuck with Bruce. Daddy.
Yeah, 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 man. Bruce had a lot of respect, man. He was the first man to give me the mic. And you know, and like I said, that opened up doors. Back in those days, comedy was different. And, you know, I was acting before I even started comedy. I started acting back in 1996.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I got into comedy, it was 1998. Then I messed around. I did Comedy Review in 1999. And I was on there for 5 years, you know. And it's just, I wouldn't have got that training from Atlanta. Atlanta got some of the best comics in the world, man, including you, Fredo.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Because we have the will to be, we had to be creative. Because there's so many comedians that you can't do nobody else's joke. You got to tell your own story. You're right,
and they was big on originality, or they'll beat your ass in the elevator.
There you go.
Oh, they be telling everybody jokes now.
Hey, but they got to go back to whipping their ass.
Man, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I'm still out here.
It ain't.
Hey, I don't even like when niggas don't waste your time. Yeah, it's fun.
Don't even waste your time.
It's fun,
but you far removed from that, bro.
You're right.
You put in your time. You did what you did. You know what I'm saying? Let me beat him up.
Hey, man. I appreciate y'all giving me my cocaine while I can smoke.
Fuck the flowers. Do the cocaine.
Give me my coke while I can smoke. No fentanyl.
Give me no flowers. No, give me that cocaine.
It seems like the niggas that be stealing jokes the ones to get the furthest, though.
Not really. Because they're going to fall. They're not around everybody to steal anymore. So they're creative.
It's the same shit with rapping. Like, shit, the motherfucker who's stealing other people's shit, they going to fall.
It might hit for a minute, but originality always rises, man.
Overrides all that bullshit.
It's just like it's working as an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a way that all actors are going to audition for this role.
Yeah.
Then there's a way that you going to audition for this role to put some spin on it. And then get the job.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is thinking about a creative way to make yourself stand out.
And you did that.
That's how I do for commercials, TV, films, whatever it is, because working as a comedian teaches you how to be creative.
Yeah.
So you when you're working, and I don't look at it as a competition, but guess what? When they're looking at different actors, most of the time they're going to do the same performance because they're going to look at the script and do it like the script say it is. The thing is, as an actor, when they give you the script, you give them the script back plus you. Mm. And if they can't see you,
then
you just like all the rest of them. So it's the same thing in comedy. Mm. When you hit that stage, you bring you to that stage. It's only you and that mic. If you try to be somebody else, people can sense that, man.
Oh, when you see
like Tyler Craig gave me advice just like you said.
Hey, from the book of Tyler Craig.
Hey, for a minute, boy, I blinked. You had Drake.
I learned from the best, man. And the thing is, as artists, the best thing you can do in life is listen. I heard Fredo saying that before when he said he went to the bar and just listened to women talk. If you listen, your listening will acquire you to be creative. Like, I listen to affirmations every day. You might say something right now.
Me too.
That starts you up.
That you might say something out of your head that's an affirmation to me, and I put it in my phone because I'm listening. Yeah. I'm taking up something that's going to give me more knowledge. So I can move forward.
It's always about dropping on
too every day, bro.
Yeah, I start my day off with a little Les Brown. Little Les Brown.
I meditate, but
and E.T.
The last two weeks, I've been meditating for like 2 hours every day.
That's dope.
Yeah. And the crazy shit is, right? When you ask the universe to remove all negativity from you, sometimes you ain't ready for what the fuck it removes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
You the one who told me about it. Yeah, be careful what you ask for. Yeah, let me tell you something. Hey,
let me tell you though.
You don't be ready.
But you won't be ready, but when you start to think about it, you'd be like, damn. So it's like having cancer and that bitch come out in your shit. You're like, damn, I had that.
Let me tell you something about when you talk to that universe. Yeah. You like, remove all the negativity out of my life. Next thing you know, your girl gone. Your car gone. Your house gone. You're like, wait a minute. What did I ask for?
It's for the best.
You said remove the negative shit out.
Dude. Yeah.
It's for the best.
I'm like, look, you can
your bank account gone because he was in the negative.
Damn!
Oh shit! They didn't close my shit down, nigga. You said remove your all the negative shit.
Your meditation is powerful, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I lie to you not.
And my shit got way more powerful though.
But embrace it though. Don't fight with it because you'll try to hold on to some of them things And it's really just pulling you down and pulling you further apart from what it is. It got removed for a reason.
Yeah.
So understand whatever that is right there. Live in that moment. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But let your hair down.
Yeah, because everybody got their, just what I noticed about it, you know, everybody got their separate journey to them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Everybody got a separate journey.
On your way here, I don't know what you embarked on and when you got here, but when you got here, you got here. You know what
I'm saying? You got here safe.
Everybody came here. Everybody came here on three different paths.
That's true.
Yeah.
So but, like,
you
and the universe
know.
Brought us all here.
Exactly.
I was coming through, like, this is my boy. Like, I call, when I see you on TV, I think you're in L.A. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a, I see your new commercials and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think you're in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm coming through the parking lot last night. I don't forget people that crossed my path. Right, I remember face. Right. Yeah, I used to get robbed a lot by older cats. So when I remember their face, I do them dirty. Yeah. I can hit them from anywhere. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole other story. Look at it. I just remember I'm coming through the parking lot. I said, man, that nigga looked just like Wise, man. So I slow down. He was talking. They was in whatever zone they was in. I rolled down the window. Why, Stacey Hall? That's my boy.
Yeah, man.
Because you never know now. People age, we win a lot of years later. Boy.
Yeah, man. But you know what, man? We're blessed to still be in this business over 20 years.
Man, God is good.
I remember when you was doing Who's Got Jokes.
Yeah.
And I think you did Comic View too, right?
I did Comic View, Who Got Jokes, Def Jam Mobile, all of that. But what happened was, well, Who Got Jokes, it was a transition period, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Comic View where it's set up for people to enjoy comedy. Mm-hmm. Who Got Jokes was setting you up for failure.
It was a competition show.
And they didn't tell you it was a competition. You know what I'm saying? Because when they jerked Tyler that day, I was like, oh, this one of them kind of contests. These people, to me, that was a heinous show because you would have a whole theater full of people. Now, from out of town, me, Tyler, and all us, we went up last. All the people from Cali got to go up first.
Why they set it up like that?
When I say them people was in the house by 10, 11 o'clock at night, everybody was
so gone. It was a lot of politics.
Yeah, politics as usual. But I snapped. I showed my true colors out there because I was about to beat up a heckler on TV. It would have never been the same. I was going to mollywop the dude. And he from Chicago. I forget his name. Chris Set It Off Jones could tell you his name, but he was a comic from Chicago. They were paying him. I remember talking to Kevin Hart backstage. Kevin Hart was like, man, I ain't doing this. They put up in his little Porsche joint. He was like, yo, they got me giving me a job here. His job was to heckle all the comedians when they came out. And they mic'd the heckler. So when I heard a heckler with a mic, it just took me back to 5 minutes. With the mic
the
on.
Mic, the heckler.
Lionel Evans, something like that. I'll never forget him. Light skinned dude.
He came
to me. He saw so much fight in me. Bruh, backstage, he was like, bruh, I'm sorry. I did not know it was going to go like that. Boy, I said some crazy shit on TV without cussing. I told that boy DDTO, the drummer, and some dog dude. Face down. I snapped on TV, bro. I snapped on TV.
Wait.
Hold on.
You
I got more love in the hood. I'm dead for real.
DDT, his grandma, and some dog dude.
Go watch the tape.
You know how much work it is to DDT. You got to lift them up and then power drive them down.
You grab their head and put them. Get their head from under them. That's what came to my
grandmama.
I couldn't believe TV was throwing me a curveball like that.
But you got to understand, TV is not real.
You ain't got to tell me now. I saw that. And they played that.
And especially from somebody watching it. Shit, if I wasn't a comedian, ain't no.
They played that with a race.
On there, I wouldn't know that.
That gave me tough skin.
Yeah.
And then I got more into the business. I start reading the whole contract. When you get a contract, you look over what you see that benefits you.
You're excited. You're excited. It's like, oh, yeah, this is an opportunity. Yeah. You're not reading all the jargon.
The fire print said your asshole going to be open like 285.
Man.
You ain't read the fine print.
You didn't read the fine print about the fucking and that they gonna actually do to you. But at the end of the day,
I didn't sign up for this part.
I know you're glad.
John Hancock. I bend over.
You signed your life away in blood.
I thought that was a paper cut.
I laugh at this crazy shit because that industry shit, it gets weird.
I thought that was a paper cut. Nah, that was your signing.
Where do you think that the state of comedy is now? With the internet, where comedians who start on the internet and comedians who've been in the game for a while, are y'all seeing that they're mixing together, or are y'all seeing that they're kind of like two different tours? I'm saying?
It's a lot of different tours out here
now. I feel like this right here, right? You know what I'm saying? Coming from, not even saying I come from that era. I come from, you know, what inspired me to do comedy was, you know what I'm saying, the vets and shit like that that I met along the way. So I only been doing comedy for like 7 years. You get what I'm saying? Dope. As opposed to that, I just fuck with a lot of veteran comedians. You know what I'm saying? We click like that. So like, when I see like internet comedians and stuff like that, what I notice is, you know, it's about putting asses in the seat. It ain't really about being funny. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you had to be funny. You get what I'm saying?
Now, if it was 13,
it don't matter. It don't matter.
They just want they want funny comics.
And then like how I process it is, I go back to looking at everything. If you look at everything from rap music to how they made the beats and how R&B singers used to be and all that shit, and you see like everything been watered down. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like a lot of the vets have a hard time transitioning into the new, like, because everything changes.
Yeah,
but you feel me? Everything changes. If you're a powerhouse vet, you don't really have to make the proper adjustment. You can bring those poo putts along with you, and keep your name ringing bell.
Yeah.
You put on the Instagram sensations. You put on the hottest new comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen,
it's very rare.
Somebody that's smart, though.
Yeah. It's not even the fact that the person being smart. It's just the fact that, okay, I'm more of a book reader, right? I'm more of a book reader. So I had to transition to the internet and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So until you get it, you learn it and shit. Once you learn it, you know you could progress and all that shit. But most people is like, you know, they stuck in their ways. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to.
They be jealous.
It's an evolution. I think that is great because at the end of the day, I know for me it allowed me to be more versatile as far as, okay, this is what I got to promote. This is what I got to put out. It make you get up off your ass. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Laying down all day, you know, just doing that shit,
you know,
and waiting to do your show at night.
You could be like, all right, no disrespect to nobody, but you could
be.
Do your drugs and all that shit and whatever, not worry about promoting, doing all this other shit. Back in the day, you just knew what the fuck you was doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, from my understanding, back in the day, if you was out that bitch running and gunning, you was even getting paid more. But now, motherfuckers ain't getting paid. Like, you can run around and shit like that. You